Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
It's wonderful being with you today. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks, and I was just thinking today about styles of thinking and kind of there's linear thinking, right? The linear thinking, the way we tend to think about stuff, the way we look at stuff. And I realized at a certain point in my life, it was almost like I had the sense I was in the horizontal or in linear thinking, and there was this other world, this other thing that was kind of, I was hearing about and noticed. And every so often it would kind of come to me. It was like something, I'd read something. So I remember reading, because we're doing this series on being paid for who we are, being paid for who we are. I remember one day I must have been doing my best to leave school. That was one of my practices, to leave school as often as I can, because I felt my spirit would kind of dwindle there. And I read this quote by Mark Twain. He said that true success is turning your vocation into your vacation. True success is turning your vocation into your vacation. And I loved being in the woods. And I'd walk in the woods. And when I read that, it was kind of an interruption, a welcome interruption, because I thought, wow, that means something. You know, that sort of means something. And I had a health crisis, you know, at the time. I was having a health crisis. And this is before I even knew I was, you know, in the world of coaching. I didn't really know. You know, you ever have a sense that you're in a direction, but it's not where you could be or what you could access. And so I went to the bookstore and I found this magazine and I read an article about sugar, actually. And somehow I knew I was supposed to give up sugar. I was like 17 and sugar was all around me, you know, and was also around me was I got really curious and inquisitive, because what was around me, my parents, I could feel in the household there was a certain thought system, if you will. There was a certain way of being in life, and it was all outward oriented. You had to get degrees, you had to do certain things. And there was a lot of fear about that. Now, nothing was spoken, per se. Every now and again, there was. And I had went to New York City. And two things happened on my trip to New York City, because I started to get really curious about the nutritional thing. And so one thing that happened was I went to a ski show. And I went to the ski show, and I told Miranda, our vibrant writer, the story. But I went to the ski show, and there was a big pavilion built. So if you were a good skier, you could, if you were a really good skier, there was a conveyor belt that looked like you were skiing down a ski trail, and you had to climb upstairs. It was a big like tower with kind of fake snow on this conveyor belt, and they were asking someone from the audience to come up and to give this a shot. And I had only skied a little bit, but I thought, wow, that must be really, really hard, because it was going so fast and it was a big, you know, thing. But I really paid attention. What was happening in my life then, I didn't know at the time. I'm a lateral thinker. I was thinking differently about things. So I'm in my life now and I'm changing my diet. And when I change my diet, my whole way of seeing almost everything changes. Because all of a sudden, I'm not eating what everybody eats. I'm feeling different. I go to the show. And basically, what I noticed during that show was that this one guy that kept going up to attempt to ski down this thing, he fell two or three times really badly. And the audience, I'm not going to go into the full version of the story. I'll tell you the full version sometime. But basically, on his third try, everybody was like devastated mentally that he was going up again. They couldn't believe it. And instead of falling and going to the safety net, when he fell and he got thrown back in the air from the conveyor belt, what looked like, if you will, snow carpet, it threw him very high in the air. And he did some beautiful helicopter somersault, and he stunned the crowd, right? Everybody was surprised. I couldn't believe that he had failed. He had not made the mark. And in that moment, in that very moment, I knew I wanted to coach people. I didn't have the words, but I knew I wanted to work with people and go beyond their self-image. And I knew there was something there in people that was different than who they identified as. I knew there was a vital sensation that lived deep in people that they could access this vitalness. And it would go beyond what they were used to in terms of identifying themselves. I don't know if I had that language, but that was my sense of it. And so the world of coaching became an alive world for me. And there was no coaches around. And so kind of in honor of that, I want to welcome Maureen Clary from Natural Awakenings Magazine from Rhode Island, one of my favorite places to go. So I want to welcome you, Maureen, again.
Thank you, Glenn. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy you're here. And I want to say, as part of our series, I realize that what I really want to pass on to people is that relational collaboration, or I call it three different things, Maureen. I call it relational collaboration. I call it infinite collaboration, because it allows you to move past what you possibly could do on your own. It makes the journey and the process very different in terms of satisfaction and connection, which I have with you. And also, it's very prosperous. It's a really prosperous thing. By the way, that was my greatest discovery in the field of coaching by far. And I was thinking about this morning, Maureen, was that originally when I started in coaching, I didn't think about the process of coaching. Like I had a sense that we got hooked to the wrong, we got hooked to thought systems, or I call them thought viruses now, that didn't serve us. But I didn't see how a lot of what coaching and self-improvement and self-transformation was about, you know, this false sense of empowerment. I didn't have the language then. And what happened in my life was, I had a sense in my heart that relationships were profound. I knew that there was something so medicinal and powerful there. And I remember hearing one day Dr. Ashley Montague, anthropologist over at Princeton, he said something that transformed me that day. I was at my parents' house, and he said that love could heal broken bones. And I thought, wow, that's a different love. That is a, you know, when someone experiences love like that, that's so different than how most of the culture talks about love. So I remember standing there hearing that. And
thank you.
So coaching became part of my life, became a way of life. I ran into a psychiatrist, Dr. Bob. Oh, by the way, I want to share this with people because here it is. I'm coaching people, all kinds of people. My first client was a guy named Richard Wampeldorf. And I met him, and he came to see me, and he would leave early. And I thought, oh, people get value because they stay an hour. They say it's an hour, and he stayed for the value, and that opened me up to see things differently. And, you know, this quote, by the way, by Mark Twain became part of my life, because I thought, it seems to me, and I'd be curious to ask you what your experience is, it seems to me that when I was watching life, you know, early on, I think, oh, people seem to get worn down and tired at work, and maybe they have good work that lasts maybe a few hours, but then they get worn down. So I thought, I just kind of noticed that. And then I remember sitting places where there was a lot of other younger people and watching adults walk by. And I thought, you know, they don't look like they move as well as us. You know what I mean? I kind of had this feeling of movement. I had this feeling of relationship. And I thought, is it really true that we need to work this many hours a week? So I want to ask you this. So just from a kind of a coaching perspective, before we kind of dive into vibrant matchmaking, which is my next evolution in coaching was on the relational nature. But I want to ask you, like, what was your first, was there something in your life that was your first, like, discovery or something that impacted you in a way that kind of, you know, changed your life in a certain way? Is there anything that you could recall was instrumental?
Yeah, for sure. It was when I had found the magazine that I really did feel like the skies opened and saying that this was what I was supposed to be doing. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about publishing the magazine. I just knew that it felt right. It felt like mm-hmm. everything I had been looking for was just all sort of rolled into one. And I just couldn't imagine not doing it.
Wow.
That sort of so consumed. I had a perfectly good
really?
Job. I was a vice president at a bank, and I quit
wow.
my job so I could start the
wow.
magazine.
I didn't know that. So you kind
yeah,
of went. You
yeah.
kind of went. So you went from a conventional, a very linear profession, and it's how did that change you? How did that shift you? What was it like? What was it like when the sky opened and you had that awareness when you walked into it?
It was. You know, it was that wonderful combination between scared to death and super excited, knowing that you were in the right place, doing the right thing, and not having
yeah.
the foggiest idea what you were doing. So it's
wow.
a wonderful sort of in-between kind of place. There's a lot
yeah.
of sweetness in that space.
Wow. So what was it like for people around you? Were they encouraging? What was it like for people around you when they said you were going to quit, you were going to leave the bank?
Well, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. When I told a lot of my coworkers, it was astonishing
mm-hmm.
how many people were, there was envy that they were
mm-hmm.
wishing that, you know, I talked to people who were bankers and said things like, oh, I always wanted to be a lawyer, or I always wanted to be
mm-hmm.
a photographer, or I always wanted,
mm-hmm.
there was other things that they wanted to do
mm-hmm.
in their life besides what
mm-hmm.
they were doing. So yeah, the gentleman that I gave my resignation to had said that he had always wanted to own an ice cream shop. So it's
wow.
just, you know, just a whole wide range. In my personal world, everybody was very supportive. The only people I had found interesting
mm-hmm.
that there was a little resistance
yeah.
from was my
yeah.
mother and my mother-in-law. And I think
huh.
that their perspective, and it's not that they were still super supportive. I think that
yes,
the reluctance
yes.
was just that in their lifetimes, in their generations, people didn't quit their job to go start some half-baked magazine. They're not
mm-hmm.
knowing what they were doing, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
in their realm of experience, they just didn't have
yeah.
any kind of frame of reference for it. So they,
mm-hmm.
they both came around, and they're huge supporters.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You know, boy, I'm always curious. There was a guy who wrote a book called Twice in a Lifetime. He's 80, and he finally did something he enjoyed when he was 80. And he said it was like he could finally respirate. He could finally breathe. So I've always been curious. I've been curious. In my life, my closest relationship was my grandfather. And I just couldn't wait to move out of my parents' house and move with my grandfather into condominium. I just was like... And my grandmother had passed away. I never saw my grandmother stand up. She was diagnosed very early with a very advanced form of arthritis. And my grandfather, when he came over, they would hide all the sweets in the house. And but I loved him so much. I kind of felt, I don't know if he was a lateral thinker or what was happening, but I kind of felt like there was something about him being patient. He was an electrical engineer. And I remember when he would get a new car, you'd see the back seat. The first day of the car, he bought it, and then you never see the back seat again. All these instruments in the back seat. He would take me out. And he passed away about 4 in the morning, probably 4 weeks after my pretty 2 months after my grandmother passed away. And I realized that I didn't really know where home was after that. And I started to have these sinus headaches, and so it was kind of. I guess you could say I had a sense, I had a feel that things were going to be different. I was just thinking about this today, Maureen, that the kind of coaching that I do with people is very, it's like an infinity. We can imagine an infinity, how it flows, like, you know, the infinity kind of flows in that movement. Because I realized that we go through life and then we kind of, we go through different places and we reintegrate them, different stages, different awarenesses. So I wanted to, I know you tell you're going to do a news release and talk to people about vibrant matchmaking. And I thought I would share with you how I made that discovery, which was tied to the most painful experience of my life. So basically I was married for about 27 years. I was coaching. I had started something very different. I started something called Vibrant Speaking. And I put together, I also was doing something called Unscripted Power. But the whole theme of Vibrant Speaking was, and I started to work with people on this, I really wanted people to allow them to be as embarrassed and awkward as they could be. As a matter of fact, I really would encourage people to allow what was holding them back to, like, I want to express it, you know, like the things that really were holding them, because they worked so hard to go past those things. And I said, no, I kind of let them be. As a matter of fact, if you're nervous, be nervous. If you feel like shaking, shake. And a lot of my speaking work became about how the quality we listen to each other. So I was kind of doing that, and I could see the biggest thing that was challenging was kind of my relationship with my wife. I felt like, I felt tremendous potential. And at the same time, that something was happening. There was some distance. And I took a barefoot hiking at the Omega Institute. And probably within, I don't know, 3 months of that experience, she came down with really bad, really intense Lyme disease. I never had been around anybody that was really that sick. But I did what I regularly did, Maureen. Kind of like me doing, I put a team together. We'll continue talking about teams, collaboration, and going with another level of abundance in your life here on Vibrant Living. Maureen Clarity, Miranda Green's with us. Stay with us.
Hi.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. I want to send my love to Kai Cole, who's usually sitting here with me and moving and suggesting brilliant ideas and asking questions. Mexico. She wasn't able to get on the program today. Hi, Kai. We got Maureen Clary from Natural Awakenings. Maureen's going to be our inside partner. She's going to demonstrate the power of collaboration because, you know, as my teacher Wallace Waddle said, the world has teachers, too many teachers. We need to demonstrate. We got Ariel B, homeopath, Vibrant Living team member, and I think sit down comedian. He could be really funny. He saves it and then he kind of releases it. So he's here with us. So I go into this.
I'm the best.
Thank you. So I go into this situation with my wife. Her face, basically, she starts to degenerate. I've never seen this happen before. How would I describe it? I guess the best way to describe it is she just kind of lost ability. She couldn't close her eyes at a certain point. And what I did was, there's an audio you guys can listen to. It's online. Kai put it up. It's called Her Beautiful Face. Her Beautiful Face. And it's all about when someone has a neurological disturbance, disease, how to really be with them in a way that intensifies that healing capacity. We really live in a relational field with each other, and we really impact each other. And so this, Her Beautiful Face was about really, they wanted to do a spinal tap on Monday, and she started to get facial movement. By Sunday night, she could move her right eyebrow, and the neurologist said she couldn't move her face for a year. So I share about what kind of happened in my life, and I really it stressed me, because a lot of times we see things and we go with graven image. We look at them a certain way, and this really opened me up. And you know, when I had this, I don't know, the best way I could describe it to you guys, I had a relational tsunami with Donna. And what I mean by that is we had this distancing that I felt in my heart it would resolve. And I went through about a year and a half, and I didn't know what his heartbreak. It was a very intense heartbreak. And I was actually listening to this woman on radio who was talking about heartbreak. She was a swimmer from the Olympics. And sometimes what happens is we find a language and we see something we couldn't see the day before. So I saw this. I was starting to have these, the best way I could describe them, I was having what I would call soul seeings. I was having these, they were like dreams, but I was profoundly conscious. And I started to put together a book called Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. A lot of people called me about the book. It was almost like people would meet me and kind of ask me about this experience. And Vibrant Matchmaking came into being a few years ago, and the whole basis of it was very different than what was out there in terms of empowerment and in terms of dating. Because my theme, Maureen, is, and Ariel and Miranda, is that to go beyond dating, to relating, to go beyond dating. So the idea of going beyond dating is to really, I don't know, start from this basis of relating. Because I couldn't date anybody. I really knew that deep relating has to do with deep recognition. So that's a principle. Plus, I saw the connection between vibrant speaking, because I realized that when you're really vulnerable, you could ask for things, and giving it is kind of an honor. So I realized we have some of these concepts or paradigms we don't question about relating. And I realized when I was going through the tsunami, I remember that on Father's Day, Maureen, I couldn't even stand up. I remember I thought I'd see my wife that day. And the whole experience was so overwhelming and so intense. And it was like the year before I watched her, you know, come out of Lyme disease, go past a lot of the symptoms. And I realized, and this happens in relationships, you go through different places where you could actually relationally awaken together. So when I was like in my teens, I heard about a lot of spiritual things I was curious about. Like they would talk about a Kundalini awakening, and people would talk about a lot of things. And what I guess you could say happened was I started to see things relationally. That relational cycles, when a person wakes up, often they could wake up together. So that is an example of the poison. One of my principles is the poison in your relationship can be the deepest blessing in your relationship. So Vibrant Matchmaking came about sort of organically, because I kind of thought always that matchmaking was what I did with people, well, like you, Maureen, people on all different levels of business and speaking. I love putting together teams, and I thought, wow, it's so beautiful to actually find out and discover this core sensation and kind of marry people, connect people around vibrancy, not as a one-time thing, but it's a regular thing. So I got together with a woman who wrote a book actually called, what was it called? It was called Love Never Dies. And we had this amazing connection. And I started to meet people that were questioning, because I think over the last 20 years, it started, we've had this very strong personal development, personal transformation. I see the next wave being relational transformation. And since I'd love to get your curiosity, because one of the things you gave me some feedback as I talked to you about vibrant matchmaking. What are you the most curious about for the new story? Because I want to start, you know, obviously I want to start coming to Rhode Island, and what are you curious about? Because I want to get the most, I want to speak to, and I want to get Miranda here. She's here. We got Ariel. What are you most curious about, Maureen, about private matchmaking?
I guess just how does it work? How do you match? What does it look like?
I do a consultation, which I call different things. I've been calling it a love invocation, but I do a consultation for vibrant matchmaking. And what it looks like is I ask people questions. I get a sense of their, you know, sometimes what happens, I sit with someone, I get a sense of what they, let's say what they don't like. I kind of explore with them, if you will, what their life would be like in deep relationship. I ask them questions about, you know, physicality. Like, when they're really open, what do they enjoy? And how do they, you know, vision? And what do they believe? So this first consultation is a lot about what is this vital sensation when they feel really alive and they feel really in touch? What would they like to experience? And it's also kind of removing some of the interferences. And some of the interferences, funny enough, are a lot of beliefs or thought obstacles that they've learned in personal growth work. Because personal growth work focuses on the me, and this is about the we. So I basically sit down, and I did a consultation last week with a woman who wants to be closer to men. And I remember giving a little exercise that when she saw men, she could kind of allow this sense of connection, what was already there. So we kind of played with this idea that connection is something that's there. A lot of times we push it away. So it depends on the person. And then what I do is we come up with a, if you will, a remedy or a strategy. Like I actually did this with a lawyer recently, and she, very well read lady, and she said to me, oh, she goes, what's the energy part of this? And I said, the energy part is noticing your body so that you have a sense of when you're kind of pulling away, and, you know, and I guess what it's sort of a little bit of a body-based awareness. What did I say that made you more curious, or what did I say that? Because I'm so into things that I want to make sure that I'm answering your question.
No, absolutely. Right. So just a matter of sort of getting to what it is that people are truly seeking.
Well, in a group, No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Marie.
Yeah, that's what is it that, you know, is our deepest relationship look like?
So I'm putting together a relational, a journal. It's a vision journal for couples. So one of the things when I have a group is I have people sometimes go in the room to someone they feel connection with and actually make contact with each other's toes. So because part of what happens is the way our nervous system and our consciousness works, we kind of get used to pushing off certain things. And so when you make a little bit of contact, that's why I try dancing. It's so magnificent. And I'm going to have some dances. But I have people like Kenneth sit and make toe contact. And I do a visualization. I give them a little visualization. I call them energetic visualizations. And I kind of have the group, it's like takes maybe 10 seconds, and I have them take some risks. The risk might be going up to someone and going out and getting a pine cone together and kind of being in sync and notice what it's like when you're breathing together. Like just notice stuff that a lot of times we're uncomfortable with. And so, but within that comfort, we have this sense of connection. So as a matchmaker, and when I listen to people, I kind of get a sense of some people, and I check with other, I have a little network. I kind of get a sense, oh, that'd be interesting to kind of have these two begin relating. You know, like maybe taking a hike or. So I kind of feel what's happening is that I'm helping people move from one world of high digital and kind of this, you know, online dating to this other way of kind of, I've come up with the term relational embodiment. So we embody, we get used to being having our own body, but then we embody with someone else is kind of this other thing. Oh, by the way, just to say, a lot of times when people come to see me, they're pretty excited about it. They like the idea of being vibrantly matched. So a lot of times I just let their imagination, I let them close their eyes and exhale and just speak to me about it as a, you know, like what is, like I ask them the kind of questions. I'll give you an example, Maureen. Tell me if this speaks to you. I heard from this woman that was diagnosed with breast cancer and she wanted to do a consultation with me. Now we were going to meet at Starbucks and go to this beautiful office. And I met her at Starbucks. Even though a lot of my friends are not going to Starbucks now, I want to acknowledge that. They're upset about the recent Starbucks incident. I want to acknowledge that. Anyway, when I went to see Maureen and Ariel and Miranda, she was the healthiest person in Starbucks. She was so radiant. So I sat down with her, and I do this with my clients. I said, tell me the story. Tell me what you noticed. So she started to tell me a story that when she got this radioactive treatment, she felt like she was dying. But her sister and her mother wanted her to get it. And so she told me that story, and I said, tell me another story. And I said, exhale three times, and I want you to see another story. And this other story was about when she's at a tree, root of a tree, and the tree root is feeding the tree branches, and the leaves are, like, coming in strong. And basically, I said to her, I said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to see the other story fading in the background, and I want you to see this story that doesn't have a linear path yet, and let's touch base. And she changed her treatment protocol from the inside and kind of included her sister and her mother in a different way. And she actually wrote me to tell me that, you know, she actually didn't have that condition anymore. So with a couple, I'd like them to find this relational story. And then let the other story, the count, at any moment, we can only have two things happening. We could have a counterfeit story, or we could have a vital story. And so what I like to do with couples is kind of have them be in this vital story, where the counterfeit story kind of goes in the background. And how does that speak to you?
That sounds a lot different than what we're used to seeing matchmaking looking like, I guess, right? Now, especially with the digital and the online, right? So it's just about, do you like dogs? Do you like to go barefoot, you know?
yes. It's so funny you say it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of where is your heart, you know?
Yeah.
Start with, and, you know, that's, you know, I don't think that having everything in common is a requirement for
a
relationship, right? So if you're souls
not at all
to each other, then yeah, that's so much more.
By the way, you got it so deeply. Which, so the idea is I wanted to do some of these in person in Rhode Island, and then I wanted to do some on Zoom. And I want to say it's such a beautiful thing. Here's the beauty, and then I want to go to Miranda, talk about Miranda a little bit, because Miranda and I have this deep connection. And she's going to become a coach, so I wanted to spend a few moments with that. So what's beautiful is, Maureen, and you know this already, that When you get together with people and they're really there to kind of go beyond the known of something, like you just said so well, like so much of all those dang dating questions have nothing to do with, they have nothing to do with a vital connection. They're all kind of like chemistry and all this other stuff. It's like, doesn't really, it's kind of like, I know, it's like the outside of a white bread sandwich. It's kind of like, yeah, but that's very different than having recognition and playing with this new place where you're together on the tree. I give people metaphors. So the tree of life, a tree, when you're on the tree together and you feel this connection, you get to reveal this, if you will, this new story or this new energy together. And I also play with people that you don't have to get to know someone. That always kind of blows their mind. What you really need to do is recognize them and play from this other place. And it's a lot of fun. And I also love the idea of marrying people. So I kind of feel the blessing in my life, which was, you know, there's a chapter I'm writing. It's called From Betrayed to Be Loved Together. So the idea that I have is that when people actually come together, they resolve a heartbreak they might have had at another point in their life. And that new love, that beloved love, if you will, opens up them to another place that's beyond the known, beyond the superficialness that we both like, I don't know, a certain color shower curtain, or these other questions people seem to ask. People have almost taken for granted. You know, Maureen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I want to do, I'm so excited to be in Rhode Island. I wanted to share with you something along the power of collaboration. And also because the other thing, when I pondered this, I realized, oh, my God, imagine if couples could design their own careers together. So that was the next thing. I have a seminar now for couples called Being Paid for Who We Are Together. Because I thought, wow, they have all this creative energy. So Miranda Green, who's our vibrant writer, she's here. And I told Miranda that I was going to assist her in becoming a coach and mentor her so she could become a coach. And because kind of like you, you were in the bank all those years. Miranda's 21, and she already instinctively knows she wants to touch people. And Ariel's going to tell some kind of joke when we come back. I can see that intuitively.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I'm a relational coach. We work with speakers around the world. We have Vibrant Speakers International. We're talking to Maureen Clary from Natural Awakenings Magazine in Rhode Island. Why don't you give out your website, Maureen, and let people know how they can reach you. And I know I want to recommend Rhode Island as one of the greatest summer spots ever, by the way.
Absolutely. I agree. So the website is rinaturalawakenings.com. And my phone is 401-709-2473. And my email is mcary at rinaturalawakenings.com.
Beautiful. I love the phone. I love the So sometimes things come in our lives beyond with, you know, all what people give us advice about. I wanted to share one thing before we let Miranda come on. I want to go to Ariel just because it'd be interesting to see what Ariel has to say, you know, just because. Sometimes it's just a because thing. So I had this opportunity.
I'm flattered.
Go ahead, Ariel. Go ahead. Say something. Go ahead. You're right there. Say something.
Yeah, so I've been working with Glenn just on the vibrant dating. It's something I also feel very connected to, and like what Glenn and what Maureen have brought up also, it's something we want to bring to people in order to really make dating less superficial, more in a way where two people can meet each other and see on a deeper soul-like level, to try to make that connection on that deeper level as well. And I'm looking forward to working with Glenn to really, you know, get that going, to build it up, and to really touch and influence, you know, many, many people out there that really need it.
Yeah, no, I'm so, Maureen, do you remember a guy named Mary Andretti?
Yes.
Okay,
race,
cool. So,
auto race?
Exactly. So part of getting back to the vibe matchmaking, and then Miranda's taking some extra breathing here. We're gonna have Miranda join us. She's initiating her coaching crew. They're having a special funeral for her job, by the way. She's going to bury her job soon, and she's going to move into this other lifestyle, like you, Maureen. So I go to – okay, so I had this conversation, and this is – I want to say I've had hundreds of conversations, and I didn't realize this conversation with Mary Andretti was going to be so instrumental. So I'm sitting with him, and he says this thing, and this developed me as a coach. So I'm sitting there with him, and I said, well, tell me what it was like growing up. And he says, well, my uncles and my relatives would encourage me to race in the backyard. He had a big piece of property. And one of the things he said to me that really struck me, Maureen, he said that his what he got early on was, don't line your ducks up in a row. See, lining your ducks up in a row is a very linear way to think of life. And what he said to me was, is he went beyond this mentality of lining your ducks up to really engage in play. When he said he engaged in play, he could see the cars and the racetrack. It was like it opened to him, and it went from like the size of like a, I don't know, a golf ball to a basketball. So he was talking to me about opening up his awareness. And what happens early in our lives, and this happens relationally too, people try to get around so much, create chemistry and all these things, and it's very straining, rather than you kind of allow yourself to have an open focus, an open awareness with someone else. And the outside questions miss that. So, by the way, with Miranda, who's with us, also our vibrant writer, there's going to be a picture. We're getting pictures of everybody on our website. I'm excited about that. I'm excited having our new website unfold. Our current website is Vibrant, Vibrant Living Network, Vibrant Living Network. So Maureen, I said to Miranda, like, yeah, she could transition, and we would share the journey with the audience. So we welcome Miranda. We got a power collaboration team. And I said, we're also going to share with the audience. They could go beyond all the assumptions they have about getting a job and all the assumptions they have about what it takes and who you got to know. Like, I thought this would be almost like a purification of being able to be paid for who we are. So I thought I would welcome you, Miranda, and let you share your vision. And also I would say to people that, funny enough, even though Miranda chronologically is 21, she's probably one of the most mature awake people that I've ever met. Paradox, Maureen, paradox. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Miranda.
Hi,
I didn't mean to put you on the hot spot there, by the way.
Thank you so much, Glenn, for having me. I deeply appreciate you and everything that you are.
Thank you.
So, give you a little background. When I was 15, I was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and that was a huge pivotal moment for me in my life. It kind of solved a lot of questions and answers that my parents had for me growing up. And so because at a young age I've had a lot of physical and emotional challenges, and it's pushed me into this space of surrendering. And I started a journey of sweet allowing, and in my allowance I started to heal tremendously. And when my light in me was rekindled, I had this innate I don't even want to say desire. It was more than a desire. It was like this instinctual pull to remind others and serve on a deep level. I realized the power of stillness and how extraordinary this deep inner peace was, that I was able to cultivate this sanctuary of unbounded and untouched peace. And I saw in my friends and in my family and in the world how much that's needed. And I also realized how much my suffering was necessary in the process as well. I kind of like to use the analogy that it's kind of like we're always digging holes in our lives. And so, like, you reach a point where you're digging and you're digging and you're digging and you're suffering and you're suffering and suffering, and then you finally reach life-giving water. And that's kind of my experience, was that once my face touched the water underneath all this digging that I did, I was like, oh, it's words are only attempts to describe experiences, but I have these huge heart openings of love, and there is so much unnecessary pain that we feel constantly due to our habits, and Lyme disease kind of, not just Lyme, but the spirituality and the emotionalism and the mentality that came with it. It was a roller coaster, and I felt like I was being chiseled constantly, chiseled and chiseled and chiseled, and it just kind of ignited something. I don't really want to label it, but it definitely ignited some sort of flame that we all carry, right? But this is just my experience, and my unique expression of the infinite was this experience. And so I, again, have this innate need to, I guess, serve people on that deep psychological level. Because true healing comes when you completely open yourself to vulnerability at its most rawness level. We are all raw. Our true nature is complete rawness and untouched beauty, and our birthright is liberation, and we seem to have forgotten that. So it kind of feels like a duty almost, and a mission to bring that to light in others who have some confusion going on and just need that little push, because I'm not doing the teaching. You're teaching yourself. I'm just a mirroring you. So I really appreciate it. And then I met Glenn, and here I am, and it's been a beautiful journey of unfoldment. And the biggest thing I've taken away from all of this is the sweet pleasure in surrender. And you would think that wouldn't be the case, because we like to control everything. But once I let go of control, that's when my whole world started to work for me. And so I just deeply desire to share that with others.
You know, Maureen and Ariel, we came up with a name for this coaching. We call it Inherent Health Coaching, Inherent Health Coaching. I was sitting one day at Whole Foods with Miranda, and she was going to go to the eye doctor because some of this impacted her physical eyes. And one of the things I realized, one of the attributes that she has, she kind of holds things. She kind of lives from this place of holding things from a context of health. And I realize for a lot of people they're battling, and that's an unusual thing. And so she brings that. She brings this kind of way of holding things that allows you to see things and recognize your inherent health. What are you curious about, Maureen? What are you curious? We had the honor of having you share your own health journey. What spoke to you when Miranda was talking about her journey? Anything got you curious or were you wondering about?
Well, you know, I certainly, you know, thought that was interesting when she was talking about the giving the control, right? And that we have control. It's such an illusion, right? We don't have any control.
That's an annoying illusion, yes.
So true. So 100% true. I'm with you on that one, Maureen.
Yeah.
So being able to recognize that and to use that on the path to openness, that's a beautiful thing. At 21, I wish I had been that brilliant at that age.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when I'm around Miranda, it's like I have such a feeling of deep fan. I always joke that she's my other daughter. So I always, when I reference my other daughter, Alicia, I say, well, your sister. Because I feel like there's this beautiful placement, right? It's right there. And then the illusion of control is such a tricky thing in life because it seems so dang real.
Well, it is real. I mean, it's real because you feel it, right? But there's a reality behind that that's allowing that to be perceived. You know, so.
I remember I was doing a series with an anesthesiologist. And these theories was called waking up to your real health. I think we called it, I used to call it the anesthesiologist who woke people up to health. Her name was Rita Barron. Rita Barron wrote a book called Metamedicine. And she was the only woman in her village to become a medical doctor. She's pretty remarkable. I'm doing this series, right? And I'm thinking, oh, it's going really well. And all of a sudden, I go to see my other daughter, Alicia. And I was so excited to see her. She was like 15 months. I go over this rail. I missed the rail. It wasn't a good idea. I don't recommend this to people. My wrist broke. And I remember speaking to Vita at the hospital, and the surgeon said there's no way he would want to have me conscious during the surgery. And I just remember like that moment where I kind of felt like, oh my God, it's just I need to kind of feel like I could kind of let go of this way of holding it. And it was you know, I learned so much from Vita. And yet at the same time, like, wow, those moments, the illusion of control and then kind of merging, if you will, or connecting through the infinite mind that exists in us. I want to thank Kai. I can feel Kai right now. She's another, I want to say that our family, our Vibrant Living team is such a family. We have these meetings. I want to invite you on one of our meetings. They have meetings and we just give each other what I call golden feedback. And golden feedback in between letting go of control is the most valuable thing on earth because other than that, you got to go rely on the counterfeit controlled stuff. What's allowed you in your healing journey, Maureen? I know you got diagnosed with MS. What's allowed you? You sound so calm and rhythms. What's allowed you? What have you learned about dealing with control and allowing healing to occur in your life?
Well, there was, there's an inevitability, of course. And I'm always working with the calm. I have that a little of an illusion with that, in that I am calm on the outside, and my inside is often not as it could be a different swirling story.
Yeah.
So that is something I'm always working with, and meditation has been a huge help with that. Just being able to release and just sort of breathe through. That is, I think that's one. And then, of course, the food, the nutrition is, when you were talking, with your journey with eating and the no sugar and recognizing that foods and the impact it has on how we feel and how important that is. I think that's another important, and that is something we can kind of control, right? What would the choices that we're making. What are we going to eat? Are we going to have a donut or are we going to have an apple?
And I want to say to people, if you're interested in Morgan's magazine, it's a wonderful publication, Natural Awakenings. And I want to say that if you're interested in being part of our Vibrant Living team or being a Vibrant speaker, we're having an event, Maureen, I want you to come speak at and be part of. It's called the Vibrant Living Summit. And you can learn about it on our website. We're having new postings on Vibrant Living Network. And just because I want to give Ariel another 30 seconds to comment, because you just got married, by the way. You got married, so congratulations. That's a mitzvah. That's a blessing.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. He's a married guy. Newly married, Maureen and Miranda.
Congratulations.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. And honestly, and without being so cheesy, honestly, is applying like all these principles that we spoke about with not like realizing that you're not totally in control and just looking at a relationship beyond the superficial really makes a difference. And I'm really looking to share that with everybody as much as possible.
I want to thank Maureen, Ariel B, Miranda Green, you guys. Elijah Precious and Joy. We're going to see you at the summit. We'll be sharing more about our Vibrant Living Summit and Vibrant Speakers International and the power of collaboration. And do realize that assumptions and conclusions of the poison of relationship begin again. We'll be with you next week here on the Vibrant Living Network. I'm Glenn Brooks. Thanks for being with us today.